Well, it's been a turbulent year, certainly for the education system, and I guess I would argue it's been a rough few years with the pandemic. Obviously, there were issues before the pandemic, but teachers and school staff and students have all really had to constantly adapt for a long time now, and then we did see that there were decisions to get rid of some of the protections in the schools, and I know that a lot of people were concerned about how evidence-based those were. In fact, the child and youth advocate looked into it, and my sense is that with this government, they just figure if they wait things out long enough, people will stop asking, people will stop worrying about that and move on to the next thing. And with French immersion, I'm very concerned with, once again, is what kind of evidence-based decisions are being made.
Now, a moment ago, I mentioned widespread absences from schools. This has been linked to this sort of triple threat that we've heard about really internationally of the respiratory illness known as RSV, along with influenza at levels much higher than average for this time of year, and COVID-19. And so this has put strain on the health system. Meanwhile, closures at the Sackville Memorial Hospital, linked to the shortage of physicians, have been ongoing. This remains a focal point in Sackville in the larger crisis in the provincial healthcare system, which really saw some extraordinary developments this year, including the dissolution by Premier Higgs of the health boards. So, could you talk briefly about developments in the health file this year?
Absolutely. Questions of public health remain at the top of everyone's minds. Unfortunately, a lot of health measures have been all but abandoned, and like communication to the public has really diminished. They're continuing to communicate less and less about COVID. They haven't been holding public press conferences. And then there's been a real, I'd say, lack of systemic changes that could help deal with these types of things and improve, for example, improve air quality in all of our schools. Look at ventilation and air filtration. They've been moving very slowly and don't seem to have the will to really address what is pressing right now, but is also a long-term thing. It didn't happen overnight. We didn't get here overnight. Nurses and doctors and lots of other healthcare professionals have been warning for years. We need more investment in our public healthcare system. We need investment in preventative healthcare. We need to deal with the oncoming worker shortage that's going to hit. And here we are. And here we are. And so it's very frustrating. And what it means is that it's creating life or death situations and consequences where not everyone is getting access to the care when they need it, and sometimes it's costing people their lives because they die waiting in an ER waiting room, for example. There is work being done to restore the services at the Sackville Memorial Hospital. It is not going as fast as I would like or as anyone would like. However, there is work being done, and there was a nursing shortage. The nursing staffing is getting to where it needs to be, but now there's a physician shortage, and that's what we're seeing. It's not just Sackville. This is across the province where there have been ERs closing, obstetrics units closing, people being told to stay away from the ERs unless they're in a complete emergency. And it's really hard. I think people are really worried. If I get hurt, if I get sick, will I be able to go to an ER? Will an ambulance respond quickly? Will I get what I need? Because we know there's also offload delays, sometimes like 36 hours. I've heard in for one of the Moncton hospitals, it's really concerning. And then people don't always have access to primary care or to primary care in a timely fashion.
The government, the Higgs government, defends its record on housing, saying, for example, pointing, for example, to their $100 million investment in the first construction of government-owned housing in 38 years, 380 units to be built, 110 that are currently deemed unlivable to be fixed. And then on the other hand, with Bill 25 and other reforms, the government points to protections they've introduced. For example, limit on the number of times the landlord can hike the rent in a year. But notably, they would not introduce or they would not renew rent control, which, as we all know, expires December 31st and is being kind of replaced with this sort of complaint-driven system that we've reported on, basically requiring a tenant to complain about a rent increase above CPI, which the tenancies board could then choose to spread over a series of years. So, you know, speaking of polarization, the housing minister accused you of inflammatory rhetoric on this issue when you insisted that that the government was failing people by leaving out rent control in particular. So, just wondering what's, you know, your thoughts on the current situation for, in terms of housing in this province.
You know, what they're doing is too little, too late. So this new minister of housing, who doesn't have a department, who doesn't have staff dedicated to housing, and it seems to have inconsistent data, seems to be able to justify certain measures but not others. You know, I don't think they have a plan. I don't think they know what they're doing on housing. And this government denied that there was even an affordable housing crisis and a housing crisis. And anything they've done has been piecemeal, inadequate, and in some cases retroactive and really confusing. Hmm. And
rent control was retroactive. The temporary rent control
was retroactive. Yeah. And so I don't think they know what they're doing on this file, and it shows. And the consequences are severe. The consequences of not being strong on the housing file and not treating housing as a human right and not doing more is that people have lost their housing, more people will lose their housing, and there are literally people who have died in the streets. There are literally people sleeping outside. There are people who can't find shelter. Like, this is very serious, and I don't feel like they're treating it that way. And so it's not just, again, there's no Department of Housing. We've called on them to revive the NB Housing Corporation and have yet to see them do that. And yeah, there needs to be more investment in public non-market housing. There needs to be more opportunities to create housing. There needs to be protections in place right now. Those should be continuing into the new year, because we know that people are, I'm already hearing from people being threatened with rent hikes, being worried about losing their housing, and there's a power imbalance. Of course, not all landlords are doing this, but we need rules for the ones who are. Because again, there's this power imbalance, and it can be difficult for people to navigate the Residential Tenancies Tribunal. I support them. I do encourage people to file complaints, but they're worried about retribution. They're worried about losing their housing. They're worried about what might happen if they do file a complaint. And so, and those fears aren't unfounded in some cases. So, I don't think the Minister of Housing is listening to the people who really need the help right now, and it's very disappointing. And we do have an affordable housing crisis, and they have not done enough.
You know, I feel like I might be remiss to be interviewing the Green Rep in 2022 without talking about climate change. Of course, you know, Hurricane Fiona in September touched Sackville. Yeah. You know, just looking ahead to the next year, your thoughts on the climate crisis.
You know, I'm really concerned with the impacts we are already seeing. We're already seeing changes in, how often rain falls. It's falling less often, but more of it falls in shorter periods of time. We already know we've lost 50% of the snowpack in southern New Brunswick. We're already experiencing major issues. And then we really feel it when there's like a storm like Fiona that comes through. And there were people who were without power for days and days, blowing way past the be prepared for 72 hours thing. Especially like I know Bay Verte was one of the hardest hit places in the province. And so I'm really concerned that we are not prepared in terms of adaptation and preparedness for emergencies. I know we're not on the right path in terms of mitigation, in terms of stopping on the path we're on. There are some small wins we've had. We've been pushing the government to subsidize heat pumps and to help people get off heating oil. And so we've seen programs set up for that. We saw them set it up with a sole source contractor, which was a problem. And so that is being addressed. And they've expanded it to oil finally. So we've pushed for that. And so we've had some successes getting them to do these things. But these are important, but they're drops in the bucket. We're not where we need to be. And we've even still had the premier saying, okay, we need to do fracking in the province. Like that just does not add up with what the science says. I do want to say that we have had some successes in the legislature where we did get the government to recognize Emancipation Day for the first time, Truth and Reconciliation Day, and the Decade for Indigenous Languages. And we still know there's problems. Like for example, there will be no inquiry into systemic racism and in policing and justice system. So that is still a problem. So we've have had success in them recognizing those things, but there's still a long ways to go. We were able to stop the Mining Act, amendment to the Mining Act, which would have allowed prospectors to just go on farmland and take samples. So we were able to stop that bill. And our bill to create paid sick days, along with a fund to support the transition for small and medium-sized businesses, has gone to committee to be further studied. And so that is a big win for workers in New Brunswick, because right now there are people who don't have paid sick days. And at this point, like this was important before the pandemic. At this point in the pandemic, for governments to not have reacted and supported, made sure people have paid sick days, is it's just so unreasonable. And so my hope is that we will get this legislation through, and we will create paid sick days for all workers in New Brunswick.